And welcome back to another Schmack Talk podcast episode. I don't know what episode number it is, but I don't really keep track. And today, we have Juan, Mom, Travana! Let's go!
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good, man.
You're my coach now.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
you're my coach now. I go to Combo 6 at True Fit on Texas Avenue, and you've been working me. I'm not gonna lie, but it's fun. I'm having fun learning good stuff. Any notes?
Well, I'm glad to have you, first off. It's awesome, man. You're doing very good so far. When you first came in, I can already see the power in your hands when you were hitting the bag. And then as we continue to practice, I just saw it progressing more and more each day, which is good, man. I definitely see the potential for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, you had asked me the ultimate question the other day, and I kind of was gonna ask you it today on the podcast. So you asked me why did I start, and it's a combination of antivirus protection. Shut up. Anyways, hello, is this still recording? Yeah, it is. All right, sorry, computer's just freshly opened up, guys. And it was, why did I start? And it was mainly because I kind of wanted to bring... I was just mad that week, and I wanted to go punch some shit out. And I was like, well, might as well get something out of it. And to bring a little bit more discipline to my life.
Oh, so, nice, man. Yeah. Nice.
And what about you?
How I got into fighting? Long story. So growing up, I actually did get in a lot of fights. I was the quiet kid in schools. I was a kid that got picked on. So I got in a lot of fights. As I got into middle school, I never grew up playing sports, so I wanted to do something more competitive and aggressive. So the football was an option there in the eighth grade. My mom didn't want me playing sports growing up because she didn't want me to get hurt. Because I always used to come home hurt from fights, you know what I mean? So that was part of the reason. So when I finally decided to play football, I got into the idea of being competitive, knowing what it means to play a sport and stuff like that. I was going along with that for a while, ended up tearing my ACL, going into my senior year, and then after that happened, I didn't want to risk tearing it again the way that it happened, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and switch it up. I don't know if this football thing's working out, there's Division 1, 2, 3, JUCO school. I'm not no Division 1 football athlete, so let me go ahead and switch it over to something else. And then I realized I grew up fighting a lot, so let me go ahead and actually learn how to fight. But I'm not going to learn how to fight and take it back to the street. I'm going to actually do this as a sport because it looks fun. So I ended up doing it long term, and then after a while it just became more of a philosophy, man. I don't know how to explain it. It's like I did it for the sport, and now it's almost like a way of life for me. It feels like meditation to me when I do it. So
right on, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't get into a lot of fights. I got into one fight in fifth grade, and then probably the rest were on the football field during practice, because it's practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really got into fights. I never really felt the need to fight. People would always, there was guys that would, threaten to fight me but wouldn't do anything. And I was okay. So, I just watched it growing up, and I was like, this is pretty cool. Finally, I saw that you were at the gym, and I was, wanting to get in there for, the longest time, and I was just kept putting it off, and then, I don't know, I was just you know what, fuck this, we're gonna go.
We've had each other on Snapchat for a while, I think a year almost now.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I finally met you at the gym when I started going to True Fit for the first time. I was 8 months ago, I believe, 9 months ago, around there.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool. I saw it and I was like, oh, that's the guy on Snapchat that I snap every once in a while. What's up?
Yeah.
And then we got you on the podcast, and that was freaking neat. The podcast did awesome, by the way. So,
oh, that's awesome.
And it's still one of those where it's still doing good. So happy to see. Consistency needs to be key, but we can get in it. It's one of those podcasting is one of those things where it's like you want to ask people to come on, but then you're just like, I don't want to like bug them, and because it's just like an hour of just talking and not doing much. And some people feel constricted because it's like it's going out on the internet, so some people will like actually care, and they're like robots on the podcast, and it's just like, well, all right. So
hey, you know me, man. I'm gonna keep it honest with you, regardless if it's recorded. That's just how I am, man. I'm really happy to be here, though, for sure.
Sweet, yeah. Freaking, I feel like if I had like a co-host or something, I'd be more consistent with it. But I feel like that's just something I need to do myself. So that's cool. Having someone like you on who doesn't care on the podcast is pretty great, because then the conversation can just flow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, man. So. For sure.
Did you play Pokemon or anything growing up, man? Did you do anything nerdy?
Anything nerdy?
Quote unquote nerdy.
I do watch anime, guys. That's just nerds are good for me. Yes, I did get into Pokemon just a little bit. I used to watch the shows growing up, and I borrowed a Pokemon on a Nintendo DS game from a friend in the fifth grade, and then I played. I think it was Pokemon Pearl, if I'm not mistaken. But I got to mess around with that one, and I get the idea of what it's about, and it's pretty cool, man, for sure.
Nice.
I tried Pokemon Go on my phone, but I didn't have it for that long. People still play it, and I think the last time I played was like 3 years ago, around there.
What turned you off to the Pokemon Go?
I was just had more time in other apps. I was just more in Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with Pokemon Go was I ran out of Pokeballs and I didn't want to put money into it. To get more Pokeballs you need to buy them, or you need to go to like specific areas, and I was like, I'm not that invested into this Pokemon Go. I'm also in like high school, so it's not like I can dedicate a day to just go do Pokemon Go.
There's
so,
people that actually do that for
yeah.
sure.
I played a Pokemon Yellow.
Nothing against that, by the way.
Yeah. I played Pokemon Yellow. Then I did Sapphire, Emerald, and Ruby. And then from there, I did Diamond and Pearl. And then from there, that's kind of like when I stopped tuning into Pokemon, because I just got involved in... I found girls, you know?
You found girls.
I found girls, and I was like, oh, dude, I got to figure out how to talk to girls. I was kind of chubby, so I was just like playing video games and trying to figure out how to talk to girls. Yeah, I kind of like lost my nerdy touch after like middle school. Although it depends on what it is, because I'm kind of nerdy when it comes to like guns and video games now. So,
I'm in the same boat with you, man. I'm actually a nerd when it comes to guns, video games, fighting, a lot of aggressive stuff, guys. But it's for the good, for
yeah.
sure. The gun part, so what actually got you into like guns?
Just growing up, I knew my dad was in the army, and I was like, that's fucking cool. And I was like, well, guns are fucking cool, because like when I was younger, I had really recognized this pretty like advanced thinking for like a little kid, but it occurred to me that it's literally just a controlled explosion sending like a piece of metal flying.
Oh, a piece of metal. Well, they all come in different sizes, but it's
yeah.
crazy, man. What's your philosophy on guns? Like,
you should be able to have whatever you want as long as you own it and use it responsibly.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Like, who's to say I shouldn't be able to buy a $2.5 million Predator drone? As long as I just use it on my property, it should be fine. Like, I'm not using it to spy on anyone. It's strictly for self-defense purposes. And you know, in case their government wants to get a little tyrannical or anything, it's like, you motherfuckers shouldn't be the only ones to have this shit.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So that's just me.
I agree with that for yeah. sure. And the only thing about it is that there's just some people out there that have a different like way of looking at guns and act more aggressive. I think that's why there's such a bad negative opinion on guns. But honestly, guys, if I had to be real with you, the gun doesn't kill the person behind the gun does.
Yeah. The gun is, at the end of the day, still just a tool.
Yes.
It's still an extension. It's still just a thing that, like, without the person behind it, won't do anything.
Yeah, for sure.
I have two. I have an airsoft gun right here. Look, it's not running around shooting things. I have two rifles under my bed, not doing anything.
And the same goes for fighting, guys. Like, yeah, I've done martial arts for a very long time, but I'm not out here trying to pick fights with people out on the street for no reason. You know what I mean? Same thing as using a gun. You use a gun, it's a responsibility. That's just my philosophy on those type of things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you can definitely tell, I just saw this and I was like, ADHD moment. Sorry, that little headphone thing came off the headphone. But yeah, like, there's definitely people that, like, really go out and try and, like, pick fights. And I was like, why?
Especially at Northgate. Oh, my goodness.
I heard that's a thing at Northgate. And, like, I've only gone to Northgate a handful of times. And really, it's just, like, either when nobody's there, because, like, I don't want to deal with that bullshit, or it's, like, a very special occasion to where I'm there and a bunch of people are there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. So, fuck Apple software update right now.
It was so bad. I used to go every fucking week, dude.
Really?
Every week. And that's all I did for 2 years was go to Northgate every single week just to be there, you know, because I felt like there was nothing else better to do in my time. But as long as I went for so long, I just came to realize that for me personally, there were just more things I could put my time into that will benefit me more positively. So, but in my time there, I did see a shit ton of fights broken out there. Jesus Christ. Some people just don't know how to handle their liquor.
They get that liquid courage and they think they're like 6'7", Andre the Giant. I'm just like, yeah.
Confidence goes.
Your name's Kyle. Your dad's a lawyer paying for your school. or you're a hardworking teenage, like, college student that, like, really doesn't need this right now, and you're putting yourself in some bullshit situation.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of those, dude.
Yeah.
Especially over there. It's like that area near Antonio's Pizza. Like, that specific area. There's so much shit going on over there.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Fucking. I only go to that area for the Dixie Chicken, and that's every once in a while. I don't even go to Northgate. If I do, I'm going for the Dixie Chicken, and I'm going to get Tijuana fries and a fried chicken sandwich, and probably a couple chuggers, because
like Dixie Chicken's nice, and they're really nice.
Yeah.
But in my time in going, I really enjoyed some clubs there. Like, you'll probably see me in Icon or Social. I used to work at Draconian, so when they were open, I was there as well. So those are a few other places I really enjoyed.
What did you do there?
Just hung out. Just me, like, you know what clubs are. People dance, people drink. I drunk myself, but mainly I was just sitting there observing. I was just there just to, like, almost observe my surroundings. It was weird. I just wanted to be in the moment around a bunch of people and just watch everyone have a good time. That's just how I always was when I went to those places.
Oh.
I did dance every once in a while, but most of the time I was just chilling, dude. People probably thought I was, like, came off intimidating because I would just sit there and just stare like I didn't care if I was there or not, truthfully.
Yeah. Honestly, that's me when I go to parties. It's just like, I'm more there to, like, watch other people.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying, like, my surroundings, I guess you can
say. People will walk up to me and be like, you good, bro? Are you just chilling? I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm fine. I'm vibing, just watching you fucking idiots do stupid stuff.
Shit, at least people do that to you. People don't even come up to me and ask me. They just look at me and like, this guy.
Yeah, or people will be like, think look at you kind of weird, and it's like, I'm just vibing. What you worried about me for? I'm not causing problems.
Crazy. People, you should, like, I'm not bragging about myself at all, but I don't know. I guess I have this demeanor where people look at me and they are instantly intimidated before I speak. I get, because it's just the look that people give me when I make eye contact, and I'm just like, look the other way, Yeah. Or it just may be me being shy, and they probably see that and it makes them feel uncomfortable.
I definitely feel that at the gym, because there's definitely some cute girls in there that, like, may have looked at a little too much. And, like, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'm a really shy guy. I talk to you and stuff, but, like, I really can't. It's just not going to work out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to, like, fumble over my words and make and ask myself for, I don't know. There's two girls that, like, actually work there. Actually, there's a couple girls that work there that are cute, but, like, there's these two that, like, I have my eye on at True Fit, and I'm just like, man, I'm going to talk to you one day. I'm gonna talk to you at some point, and it's gonna happen. And then like I'll they'll be working out there, and I'm like, today's the day. And then like I'll walk past him, and I'm like, hey. And then that's it. That's it. It was weird because in high school I didn't give a fuck. I was fat and shit, and I didn't care. I would talk to like anyone. But now I'm just kind of like lost a bunch of weight, and now I'm just like, you're kind of like shy guy now.
I'm the same way, man. I used to be very, I was quiet in high school, but I actually was more open to being extroverted in high school. But like as I got older, I just got more quiet and just more to myself. Now I'm 23, so yeah, it was about 5 years ago when I used to be more extroverted. I just discovered college and became quiet.
Yeah. That's honestly what happened. It's like I got to college and I just became quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like I have less to say. It's just I feel like less needs to be just thrown out there.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, like from my point of view, as I get older and get more experience, I just I can tolerate more things that I wasn't able to tolerate growing up. You see what I mean? For example, in high school, if I saw a fight break out, I'm like, oh, let me run over there and pull my phone out. Like, bro, look at this crazy shit going on here. Oh, my goodness. Like, post. And now, like, I'm 23 years old. I see a fight and now just, oh, cool. And just keep walking.
Yeah. It's like, oh, neat.
Yeah.
Carry on with my day. Yeah. Doesn't concern me.
I've already seen too many of those, been in too many of those. It's like, you know. Just like that, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. Holy crap. I don't know what happened. Oh, that's my breakfast, by the way. Shout out to pancakes. Instant pancakes from HEB. Love them.
I wish I can't eat pancakes. I just choose not to for some reason. But I freaking love them, especially your Kodak cakes. I don't know if you've heard of those.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
Protein cakes. Yeah.
Those things are good. Freaking, for me, the one thing I can eat is pork. I don't know why, I just don't eat it that much.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't eat pork either. Mm-hmm. I just choose not to, honestly.
I love bacon, can never say no to bacon. Yeah, chicharrón will always be there, but, like, pernil, gonna take that, always.
Like pork chops, or, like...
Pork chops and, like, pork loins is, like, I'm not a huge...
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah, dude, it doesn't sit right with my system, guys. I just don't eat it.
Yeah. I ham, I enjoy it, like, a little bit, but if I eat too much, I feel greasy inside, and I'm just like, I'm not good.
I'm more of a turkey person, personally.
Yeah, turkey's gnarly. Mm. Had some turkey tacos the other day.
You said turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I gotta support my industry, turkey and poultry science, baby. You gotta support the chickens, turkeys, ducks, quails, ostriches, and emus. Yeah, he has to say ostriches and emus. Just get a little fancy. I actually saw a job posting for a manager for an ostrich farm the other day in my student email, and I was like,
oh wow,
that sounds cool as fuck.
Wait, so you literally get paid to be around ostriches and maintain, like,
for that job? Yeah.
Nice. I'll be taking so many selfies on my phone, just
The daily ostrich post on my Instagram.
Huh?
It's the daily ostrich post on my Instagram. Like,
oh yeah,
the
daily ostrich. Each ostrich in that building will have a specific nickname for sure.
We can't name them. We're told not to tell them, like, name. Well, depend on what the ostrich farm is for. Because if it's for eggs, then I guess you could get away with naming them. But, like, if it's for, like, meat processing, I wouldn't name them. Because if it...
Oh, yeah.
They're
okay,
going to die.
Well, that's why they say not to name specific animals. I got you.
Yeah. Like, I had a meat processing class, or a poultry meat production class. And the entire goal of lab was to raise meat birds. And it wasn't that hard, but they were like, yeah, don't name them. Because they're going to get processed at the end of it. I was like, okay. Say less, dude.
I wonder how many people actually named it before they were told that. Probably a lot, right?
Right, yeah. I used to take pictures of them on the daily, post them on my Instagram or Snapchat, but, like, look at my children. Oh. They're going to die eventually, but, you know.
I should not be laughing at that. But I see where you went with that.
Yeah. That's one of those things where it's like, that's not funny, but that's funny. How many professional fights have you been in, and how many fights are you gonna? How many? You had that one moved, right? Hmm? You had that one fight moved?
Yes, so I was supposed to fight in November, but that one, we couldn't find an opponent for me, so we, I wasn't able to fight in November, but we do have a card coming up in March if everything goes well and COVID doesn't ruin anything here in town in College Station. I don't have all the details yet regarding the card, but I do know that it's a potential for me to be on that card.
Okay.
In March. So, as always, I'm just training and doing as much as I can to be in the best shape of my life and put on a performance when that time comes.
Right on. Okay, now, as a fighter, how do you get onto a fight card? How does that work?
So usually, when you start training at a gym, after a while, you're training long enough, either your coach will like ask you if you want to fight, or most people will go in and just to say like, hey, I want to be a fighter, so the coach will instantly know where you're trying to go with this. If you're dedicated and you prove that to your coach, then yeah, you're going to find a fight usually. They have smokers that you can participate in. They don't go on your record, but it's real fighting in the cage, less time, and then you get two rounds just to throw hands with somebody else that wants to be another amateur fighter one day. So you do you do well in those, then you'll be ready for an official, like, on your record fight, not as a pro, but you'll be, there's levels to it. You become an amateur eventually. If you do well in the amateur ranks, some fighters build like 7-0 records, 8-0 records, 6-3s, like some even five, or even be like 5-5, and then they'll go pro. You see what I mean?
Okay.
It all just depends on how skilled you are, and then if your coach thinks you're ready, then you will eventually go pro and start getting paid for it.
Right on.
Elbows get involved as a pro as well, which is pretty cool. You can't use elbows in an amateur, well, at least in this region, you can't. I know in Texas, you can't do that. Louisiana, you can't. In Louisiana, you can throw knees to the face, reinforced knees. You can't do that in Texas. But other than that, when you turn pro, then all that stuff gets involved. Then the knees, the elbows, and then the rounds get longer. Amateur's 3 minutes, pro, I think it's like 3 5-minute rounds. But yeah, just more time and more things to play with is really
cool. Mm-hmm. And now, it's the same process for like just getting on cards in Louisiana? You're just coached?
Yeah, usually in my case, my coach tells me, like, hey, there's a card this day. Do you want to fight on it? My coach usually knows I'm not going to say no, so he'll just tell me straight up, hey, this date, this time. You know what I mean? I'm just like, all right, bet. See you then. I'll see you at practice. You know.
Right on. That sounds, mm-hmm. That sounds like quite the process, honestly, now that I think about it.
Now
that it's all laid out in front of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. It, getting a fight is not really a process. It's just it's all about being patient, because most people want to get their fights like within 3 months of training. They want to like actually fight in front of people officially after 3 months, 6 months, and I'm just like, dude, just get as much training as you can.
I feel like that's kind of that's kind of like disrespectful to the like sport. Not disrespectful, but you're kind of like doing yourself a disservice to the yourself, but also the sport as well, because you're kind of just like rushing into it. You're not giving it a chance to like. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it really just depends on your skill level and what kind of person you are. I'm sure there's people out there that have trained like 3 months, got their fight, and end up being undefeated. Like, everyone's different and learning their own way, but there's so many fighters out there. There's so many people wanting to become fighters. We recommend that you train at least a year or a year and a half before you get your first official amateur fight. I think personally that's a smart thing to do.
Okay.
There are cases out there though where there are some people that'll train 3 months and are just naturally freakishly gifted and end up doing well too. But we just like tell everybody, just train for a year. Even if you're one of those gifted athletes in 3 months, just imagine if you made your debut a year from now. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you'll be even more dominant. But I just tell people to, hey, man, just enjoy the process because that's the best part. Fights don't last as long as the training does, truthfully.
Yeah, because when I go train, it's probably like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, and whereas like a fight would be like, what, 30 minutes?
At most, a fight can be between 20 and 25 minutes. But usually, as an amateur, you get 9 minutes. That's it.
See? Yeah.
You literally get three minute rounds, and most of the time, if you've trained for a long time and you end up being better than your opponent, first, second round, you get 5 minutes. That's it. But that's like not including the 6 months of hard training and the hours that you put in just for those 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Honestly, that hour training, I do be having lots of fun in there, though. I do be having fun.
It's pretty cool, man, for sure. Like, as you get comfortable learning the combos and doing them over and over again, you just will get more confident and confident, feel more comfortable as you're fighting someone, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Hell, dude, I've been doing it for 4 years, and I still practice my jab and my cross every day like I'm a new person, just because, you know, it just wouldn't hurt to have a better jab and a better cross, even if you are decent at throwing one.
I catch myself in the shower now, shadow boxing.
In the shower?
Duh. Why? Like, why not? Why not?
I will honestly say I do pass up a lot of mirrors and start shadow boxing just because. And there'll be times that I'll throw a few haymakers in the store thinking that there's, like, an opponent in front of me just because.
Yeah. You gotta be ready, man. Yeah, always, man. Ready.
If you're passionate about something, it shows. Just don't hit anyone in the process.
Yeah, no. Don't accidentally knock someone out practicing your cross. Who's, like, not ready for it coming down the aisle in fucking HEB.
That would be terrible. That would be so bad. I would honestly feel so bad if I did that.
I would, too. Did you hear about... Okay, this is kind of unrelated. Did you hear about the... When Jorge Masvidal was in the club and he, like, knocked the guy out who... These two guys came at him and they looked like they were going to jump him. And so, like, he, like, knocked them out, goes into the restroom kind of, like, to retreat. And a dude walks in and he doesn't know if they're with him or not, but he just knocks them out.
Really?
Yeah, just knocks him out.
I don't know. I don't think I heard about that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jorge did that. He seems like the type of person that doesn't tolerate bullshit.
Same, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, I get the vibes. It's just like, all right. Yeah,
I'm sure he did it for a good reason.
Yeah, because he's definitely one of the guys where... He's not like... Who was pretty reckless with that?
Connor. Connor's bad, bro.
Connor's bad, yeah. Connor, that one guy, what's his name? He's from New York. Oh my gosh. He got, like, there's a video of him floating out there of him getting kicked out of a bar and, like, knocking out, like, the bouncer or, like, one of, like, a grandpa or something escorted him.
Is that MMA boxing?
It's MMA.
MMA from New York. There's a few from New York.
Yeah.
I forget.
While we're on the subject of Connor. And do you think he's going to actually take that Jake Paul fight?
Oh, Lord.
I have a lot of opinions about the Jake Paul and the Logan Paul taking the boxing and calling people
honestly,
out.
Honestly, bro, if he takes the fight, it would be smart for him money-wise if he took the fight. But for the dignity of the sport, I don't think it's a good idea, you know. But the thing... What Jake Paul is doing is honestly rare. You know what I mean? Like, you're a YouTuber with millions of views. A lot of people know who you are. Now you start training boxing. You got two KOs on your record. So now that you have a following in boxing, calling out people like that would be a smart thing on his part because he's getting all the attention for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But is it smart for him to fight Connor? I don't think so. I think Connor's taking that. I mean, I know Connor just fought Floyd, never boxed a day in his life, and to be honest with you guys, he did go past 6 or 7 rounds with Floyd.
Yeah.
Whether Floyd was playing with him or not, and on the top of that, Connor is also been fighting for years. There is boxing inside of mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? You can't take that away from him when he's been training for almost 20 years, you know what I'm saying, compared to Jake Paul, who just picked up some gloves like a year or two ago.
Yeah. And I will give the Paul brothers, they are solid athletes.
They are.
They're solid athletes, but this is like a, this is experience versus youth here, where it's like the old bull and the young bull, and the young bull's like, let's go run down there and fuck some cows, and the old bull's like, let's walk down there and fuck them all. And it's like, Connor's gonna know pretty much basically from his experience from fighting other people, and he's gonna be able to pick up your timing and everything.
Yeah, 100%. He's gonna abuse his crush on Jake Paul's face and his lead uppercut. That's where I see the fights going.
Yeah.
Honestly. But if they wanna give it a good show to the people, then they'd let it go past 5 rounds, truthfully. At least 5 rounds and then knock him out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then there's no way you're telling me Jake's cardio is going to be as good as Connor's.
I don't think so. No. Connor's just been doing it for so long in the fight world, at least. I think he would know how to pace himself more compared to Jake Paul, for sure. But that being said, Jake Paul does have a lot of money, and a friend actually made a point to me about this. Jake Paul can use his money to hire some really well-skilled guys that know what they're doing to teach him.
True.
You see what I mean? So, like, you just never know. It could be completely opposite of what I'm saying. I think Connor would knock him out with his cross. Jake Paul might knock him out, and it would be the craziest thing in history.
Yeah.
If that happened, you know what I mean.
Oh, the internet would blow the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. That would ruin... I think that would definitely ruin Connor's career, for sure.
Yeah. The Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul really shouldn't have happened. I don't think that accounts. Nate's, what, 5'10",
5'9"? Yeah, but yeah. Like, here's and the thing. Nate Robinson...
He didn't take that as seriously as he should have.
I don't think Nate Robinson planned on ever being a dedicated boxer. I think it was one of those, okay, let's pick up some gloves and make some money for charity. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
And I think that was one of those situations. I could be wrong, but that's just the way I saw it.
All right. That makes sense, yeah. Logan versus Mayweather. Any thoughts on
Logan
that one?
Logan Paul versus Mayweather, you still think that's a money move?
Strictly, yeah.
There's an argument that I've had with a few people. They're saying that Logan Paul is also like 200 pounds. Floyd's small, right? So, like, does the fight make sense weight wise? Absolutely not.
No. If this was like a professional card, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. No. But it's just more of the way I'm looking at it now is, all right, can a legendary boxer that's going to go down in history knock out somebody that's 50 pounds heavier than him and make it look easy? That's just the way I'm looking at it, you know? Regardless of the experience. And then on top of that, the dude's going to get paid millions of dollars to do it, so why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, like, Floyd is just, like, people are, like, sleeping on him because he's small, and I was like, no, I don't think you understand. And smaller guys can whoop ass.
Oh, they sure can, dude.
It's like 5 punches versus the one
from
the 200.
From experience in mixed martial arts, I've dealt with cross training. I've dealt with smaller guys that felt a lot heavier than me, for sure. Oh yeah, it's just constant repetition. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, those are definitely gonna be interesting. I know. I saw this the other day on Food Truck Diaries with Brendan Schaub. Love Brendan Schaub. And the Food Truck Diaries. It's an interesting interview process. They basically interview fighters before their big cards and stuff, between camps and stuff. And they get to eat food truck food. And food truck. I love food trucks. Food trucks have a special place in my heart because I worked on a food truck throughout high school off and on because my dad owned it. And food trucks have some fire food.
Oh, dude, yes, absolutely.
And, like, for that to come into, like, contact with MMA and just, like, cross-pollinate, that was pretty neat for me to see. And so I was watching the Dylan Danis, Brendan Schaub interview for the Food Truck Diaries, and Jake pulled up on Dylan Danis, threw, I don't know what he threw, but he threw something at him. And I'm thinking, if Dylan gets in the back of that car or in that truck, he's fucking you up.
Oh, yeah, dude. I
saw that and I was like, Jake, what are you doing? Like, this is obviously like one of your YouTuber moves to like draw attention to you, but you gotta realize Dylan's not in that YouTuber first. He's not in the YouTuber.
Yeah, dude. And honestly, bro, like, a lot of people talk shit about Dylan Danis's hands, but you gotta take in consideration he is a world fucking champion on the ground.
Yeah.
Straight up. This man will choke you the fuck out or break any ligament that he chooses to. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, Jake Paul has got his boxing experience. I don't know how long he's been training, but once, if Jake decides, like, oh, I'm gonna go for a heel hook, or oh, I'm gonna go for a rear naked choke, he very well can, easily.
Yeah. Dylan, and, like, I've seen Dylan's car, I've won a little bit of his record, and I go, even still, his hands aren't that bad. People talk bad about his hands. They're not bad.
Yeah, dude. They talk about Khabib's hands. Yeah. They do, but Khabib's also undefeated as well.
Yeah. It's like, you guys talk shit about people with no hands, but it's like, well, if they don't need them, then they can practice it and still keep it, like, good. But if that's not their specialty, why are you discounting them for it not being their specialty?
I'm telling you, man. Hey, look, they were talking shit about Khabib's hands, and Khabib dropped Conor with an overhand. Nobody expected that to happen.
No, they didn't. Nope. And when it happened, the world was just like on fire.
On fire. And I don't think anybody's ever done that to Conor in the ring either. He fought Nate twice. Nate has way better hands than Khabib. Did not do that to Conor. Nope. He didn't ever drop him like that. Nope.
Sure. Shout out to the Nate and Conor series. That was an interesting series of fights. The first one I didn't like. Second one I watched, I was like, alright. That one's kind of, could have gone either way, if I remember correctly.
I would honestly like to see it a third time. Why not?
Yeah.
You know? But honestly, if I had to be real with you guys, I think the third time Conor's taking it in the first round. No problem. Unless they both decide they're going to bang it out for three rounds, you know. But Conor's, I just think, after he got humbled by Khabib, I feel like he went in this training mode to where it was just, I need to focus on this.
Yeah,
this is what I need to do.
It was a very humbling moment for him, and you could tell. And you definitely could tell he's like, I'm taking this back to the lab and getting to work, like you said.
Yes.
So, I think Conor actually needed that, though.
You think, yeah, honestly, I would have liked to see him beat Khabib, truthfully, but when he lost, I can just honestly felt where he was coming from when that happened. You see what I mean? Because I understand the whole confidence thing comes with the fighting and stuff. Truthfully, I think Conor's a very humble person. You see what I mean? So for that to happen, I think it was just like, all right, I need to put all this social media bullshit to the side, and I'm gonna put all all of the fame, all this stuff, fuck all that shit. I'll just go back to the gym and just restart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Back to square one. Back to the roots.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. And then we saw him fight Donald Cerrone, and then he made it look easy. Donald Cerrone is no fucking pushover.
No, not at all. I love Donald.
Yeah,
he's a crazy cowboy.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. And, like you said, not an opponent to be slept on. I actually love watching him fight because he's a really entertaining fight to watch.
Dude, he's got some sick kicks, dude. I've seen him kicking, I was watching videos of him kicking pads, dude. It's just so fluent. Like, I'm not a pushover when it comes to kicks, but his are just more like, have more pop in it, and they just come out easily. Almost like a spring.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's like it's natural for him.
Yes, like I've been doing, it's almost like I can see like the years in constant repetition, like as he's kicking. It's crazy.
Any fights that are you're excited for in the coming year that you want to see?
I would have to say Poirier. I'm excited for Conor and Poirier. That's coming up in January. I believe the 28th.
Yeah.
It's actually, I got to meet Dustin Poirier in Dallas about a year.
How was
a year
he?
Ago. It's very nice.
Nice.
It's very nice. At first, Like when you see, when usually when you see fighters on TV, you think, you probably think differently of them because they're in an aggressive sport, right? So I think most people would be intimidated to walk up to an MMA fighter and try to talk to them. But dude, I was, because it was some top 10 UFC guy. I'm thinking, dude, I don't think he's gonna give a fuck like who I am. You're gonna tell me like, hey, fuck off, I'm busy, right? No, dude, I went up to him and I was like, hey, excuse me, sir, do you mind if I take a picture with you? And then he just put his hand around me and was like, yeah, dude, of course, man, come on. And like, you just all humble. He was on crutches, by the way. Cause he just he had to get hip surgery because he just fought Khabib.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and when I took a picture with the dude, he was just very humble. And then I asked him, like, what, I didn't know what was going on with the hip thing until he told me that he just fought Khabib and he had just had to finally get the hip surgery. So that was crazy. Mm-hmm. And he also told me one thing that I'll never forget. And he said he fought 57 pro fights. Hearing that in my head, I'm like, dude, I'm not even a pro yet, right? I'm like, at the time, I think I had like 4 amateur fights. So hearing that he's had over 57 pro fights, I'm just like, whoa, dude. That is,
that's a lot.
Like, this is me right here at the bottom of the food chain, and this, you're way the fuck up here. Like, I thought, I'm over here thinking that he's been doing this, like, I know he's been fighting for a while, but 57 pro fights, that's a lot of knees and elbows, brother.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot of mileage on that.
That is a lot of mileage, man. I'm sure you...
I'm glad you got the hip surgery, dude. Maybe it was time for some annual meetings.
And now he's fighting Conor again a year later. That's crazy. Woo! Man. Yeah, man. It's really cool how the fight game works, man. It's a work of art for sure.
Sorry, I'm yawning. I don't know why I'm tired. I slept in today because I didn't go train because I was waiting to see if I got paid. And I got paid and I got squared away, so I can go back to training now. Sweet. Happy about that.
Is there any video games that you're into right now?
I'm just playing Warzone right now. Warzone with the homies. Warzone?
Yeah. Oh, nice, man. My roommate plays Warzone. I haven't really gotten too much into it, but me and a friend play multiplayer a lot, and we've been playing the shit out of the multiplayer. Domination, nice. Team deathmatch.
Hardcore or regular?
Just regular. Okay. I play around with hardcore every once in a while, but my aiming's not like the best, so I always end up getting killed first on hardcore. So I just stick to regular.
I do hardcore because it's strictly hardcore because.
It's more realistic.
It's more realistic. I as like the gun nerd in me needs that.
Mm-hmm. So, I know. I definitely respect that.
See, I also play Hunter Call of the Wild. That's a hunting game.
I don't think I've heard of that. What's it about?
It's, you're just going from hunting reserve, doing like missions for the hunting reserves to keep like an equal ecosystem or a balanced ecosystem for the animals around. You can also hunt whatever the fuck you want, so I don't...
Oh, nice. But, is it, like, similar to Far Cry, almost?
Far Cry Primal,
I believe. Far Cry Primal.
So, it is very similar in the Far Cry aspect of free roaming ability and the open map and the outpost, but there's not, like, any... Like, you actually have to hunt for the animals. You have to track them down and, like, sneak up on them and get a good shot on them. And depending on the animal, shot placement and bullet size actually matter. So, like, there's a oryx. It's basically like a giant cow with, like, horns about the size of my freaking golf glove right next to you. Yeah, and it's pretty huge. And shot placement on that thing is fucking... key. If you're not getting a double lung or a heart shot on it, or like you're hitting it on the spine to where it'll just drop,
it's just gonna keep moving,
it's gonna keep going, and you might as well find another one and go fuck yourself, because you're not getting that original one. You're probably not gonna get a second shot on the original one. If you do, congratulations, you snuck up on it successfully, but that fucker was running,
and they're pretty fast,
yeah, and you're piece of shit characters can't run very fast, and so like you're just like, well, fuck, he's gone. But you know, I use on that, I use 30-06 because that's pretty much a guaranteed drop for just about every medium to large game.
Mm-hmm.
Some large game you do have to be very specific with the shot placement, but like, I'm a pretty good shot on it. I know where all the vital organs are on the animals. Not that bad. Very rarely will I have an oryx get away from me, and I'll be pissed, but yeah.
That's awesome, man. And how long, as a beginner in the game, how long would it take to kill one of those oryx?
So you'd have to level up your rifle skill to get be able to purchase the or the a caliber strong enough to take down the oryx. And then you'd also have to save up money. So in game, I don't know how long I.
Or for you personally, how long would it did it take you to kill your first one?
And for me, oh dude, I went as soon as I got the gun, because it took me a while to get the gun. It took me like 2 days of like playing, because there will be times where I'll just get like just won't see any animals, and so I'll take a break from the game. And I'll come back in, and then it'll be like, fuck ton of animals. So I'm like, alright, sweet. So about 2 days to get the gun, and then probably a day of just like learning the orcs and how they move and shot placement. Probably 3 days total to get the orcs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And you can get to, and they're pretty nice looking animals, too. They're pretty, I wish I had an intern like Jamie from Joe Rogan to pull up a picture of it, but I'll pull up a picture of it right now.
Oh, wow. There's long horns. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, they're pretty big, too.
It's a big animal. They look... I would not want to get charged up by one of those.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
I'm good. I see those two big horns and I go, ah, shish kebab.
And they're pretty fast, right? They go like up to like 30 miles an hour.
I couldn't tell you, but they're an antelope slash deer species, so I imagine they can run
so
pretty fast.
Gone, yeah. Definitely faster than a dog, and I can't catch a dog.
Yeah. Freaking. But what we can do is out long distance running.
Just run sideways.
long distance run them. Because the thing about animals is, like, no matter how fast they are, humans will always be able to, like, outrun them distance-wise.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would be concerned if there's a cheetah in front of me, for sure, yes.
Yeah.
That would be the only one. Well, actually, honestly, it really just depends. I feel like animals are more afraid of us. I don't think they would necessarily try to run at us. I feel like most of the times when humans are in danger with animals, it's because they decide to go try to mess with that animal.
Yeah.
I don't think a lion has ever just randomly ran after a human just walking another direction. I don't think that's ever happened.
Nah. I know for a fact a lot of the brown bear attacks are strictly because people snuck up on the bear.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how you sneak up on a bear, but you snuck up on a bear and you got mauled to death, so.
Like, you know, you probably saw, like, a area that made you very curious, and most of the time, people go look at it, and then the bear was there. You see what I mean? It's the places that spike your interest the most that you shouldn't go to when you're going into the wild.
Yeah, for sure. Freaking behind my house in San Antonio, there's like this little green belt that separated the two neighborhoods. One's like the richer version of my neighborhood. It's like $100-$200 difference, or $200,000 difference.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, I got you.
Yeah.
Got you.
And my houses weren't to be slept on, so like that neighborhood was rich as fuck. But like in between, there was like a green belt, and it was pretty wide. It was about as wide as this complex, apartment complex, And it was just really long, and it connected to the woods, but because I lived on the edge of the city, so like the woods is just like right there. Like it's suburban houses, but there's still like plenty of wooded area for like animals to go through. And there was a mountain lion in the forest behind my house.
Don't fuck around with those guys. Yeah, those are dangerous.
I didn't see it, but I've heard stories, and I'm pretty sure I've heard it because. I've seen bobcats back there. I've seen coyotes back there. I've seen deer. I even heard turkey back there at one point. And I was like, God damn.
Them turkey probably didn't last that long.
No, not with that mountain lion. He was like, that's mine.
That sounds like Thanksgiving dinner for them every day.
Oh, yeah. the deer back there are pretty, actually. I'm astounded with the antler growth on these deer.
Oh, man.
Because they got some nice looking antlers, but they're like skinny, small bucks. I'm like, could you imagine if they were in like the wild and they got like the actual nice deer diet?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be monsters.
Oh, dude. I'm sure some of them do, but yeah, I see exactly what you mean, dude. Speaking of deer, I've always wanted to go deer hunting before. I've never done that. I want to try that one day and see what that's like. I hear there's a lot of patience in it, and that's one of those things that I currently try to practice now in my philosophy. So, like, going deer hunting would be pretty cool just to see the process.
I've never been deer hunting. I've seen tons of deer hunting. I've played video games deer hunting. I've been hog hunting, which is pretty similar to deer hunting in some aspects, where you sit in the blind and you just wait for the animal. But there's like two different, there's many ways you can deer hunt. You can do sit in a blind and you just sit there and wait for it to come out, or you could do like a spawn stalk and you go walk around and look for them.
Mm. I feel like I would laugh too much if I went hog hunting, because I hear they make like goofy noises, so I'll probably end up like saying some goofy shit while I'm shooting at it or something. It's like, oh, motherfuckers.
Hogs are freaking insane. They get pretty big too, so.
Oh, yeah. I hear, like, getting hit by one of them is not fun.
Ooh, no. And they got teeth that'll just tear you up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pull that shit up, Jamie. Let's see. Hog attack. People get tore up.
I hear they smell bad, too. Is that true?
Yes.
Like, how bad are we talking? Is it just, like, not tolerable at all? Or is it just, like, one of those stenches that you can ignore?
It's one of those where you walk up and you're like, ah, you nasty motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
All right.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Hog attack wounds. There we go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they have, like, tusk. And like teeth on them that are probably about like this big on them, and it can grow like razor sharp.
Oh, so yeah, we pop in a few rounds in those piggies, guys. You do not want those to get close to you.
Fuck no. Tear you
pop
up.
In a few rounds of those. No, you can't get close to me. No,
the teeth on them sometimes.
Oh wow, yeah. And those are.
And they got a good sense of smell. And they can haul ass when they want to, so.
Oh, so, and they're fast, too? Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, the smart thing to do is to keep your distance and shoot them from far away.
Yeah, or in an elevated position to where they can't get at you. When I went hunting, I was in a tree blind that was, like, 20 feet up in the air.
Oh, wow.
So, I was, like, two stories up, and I was looking down at it, and I'm just like, that's a, like, I'm, like, 20 feet up in the air, and I'm still looking down at it, like, that's a fucking huge pig.
And you also got to watch out for the other pigs around, too, right? So
yeah.
If you kill that one, then you have to take in consideration that there's another pig around just
in
case. Okay.
That one will either most likely dip the fuck out because the gun's so loud, then they are so accustomed to hearing the gun sounds that they're like, yeah, this means instant death for me. So they'll either dip out, or if it's a really big one, he'll charge at you. So.
Yeah, so there's some pigs that don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They'll just come at you anyway.
That, and pigs really, to prove how much pigs don't give a fuck, sometimes they'll pretend to be dead and lay there, and then when you walk up on them, they'll charge you.
Yeah, we add an extra 2 rounds to that pig.
Yeah,
extra 2 rounds.
My friend,
just to make sure, guys.
People will walk, as they're walking up on the pig, will pop him a couple times just to be sure. I would too, though, because.
Yeah, I don't think, just seeing those injuries you showed me, I don't think I would ever want that to happen to me.
No. But they're pretty much only active at night. If they're active during the day, it's gonna be cool and they're gonna be near water.
Oh, pig hog hunting at night would be, at nighttime would be intense. I would definitely do that for sure. I like the thrill of the hunt, so I'll go for it. Why not?
There's tons of videos of people hog hunting at night. It's freaking awesome. It looks so cool.
You can do the night vision too.
They got
yeah.
Night vision goggles. I'm like, this is a Call of Duty mission for hogs.
For hogs, bro. Hell yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure having you on.
Always a pleasure,
yeah.
Brother.
Came close to an hour, but it's whatever. I'm pretty sure once I add that ad in, it'll get it to an hour. I don't really care about time. I just care about quality, honestly. So it is pretty good. I want to show you the hog hunting videos, and I don't want the audio to sound trash, so that's why we're cutting it short. quick reminder, guys, thank you for listening. Always enjoy the support. I know there's a way that you can directly support me in sending money to the podcast. I don't know how that works. It's probably, I know there's, I haven't seen what it looks like from like the consumer side of the Anchor portion. So I don't know if there's a button you guys need to click. I know it's there. Best you can do is probably share, like, and like just blast the podcast whenever. You don't even have to listen sometimes. You can play it with the audio down. I don't care. Give me the view. share. Thanks for listening, guys. Without y'all, we can't do this. Well, actually, we can, but without y'all, there's no point in doing this. So I thank you so much, and we'll talk to y'all later. Peace.